is tea time. Yeah, making a difference. One cup at a time. Tea time.
So be sure to grab your tea, grab a seat, and tune in to Miss Liz.
Tea time. Making a difference. One cup at a time.
Well, welcome everybody. Yes, it is a Tuesday and Miss Liz is here. It's not a Thursday. That's right. You haven't all gone crazy and got lost a day or two. We will be back on Thursday, but we have a scheduled tea time with Jeff Higgins because we had some little issues the last time with some technology. You know how that good old stuff works, right? So if you haven't subscribed to Miss Liz's YouTube channel, run on over and subscribe to Miss Liz's YouTube channel. Share it with a friend and a family member because we're going to share some different kind of tea today. We're going to do some taste buds, entertain, and intellect. I think I have it right, or no, I don't have it right. He's in the back laughing, so I don't have it right. So I will get Jeff to share that with all of you guys. But before we get started, we're going to do all of the good stuff. We're going to do a disclaimer, bio, and then we're going to get Jeff in here. We're going to spill some tea, and Miss Liz is going to sip on some tea because today I am drinking some tea in my room. So disclaimer for Miss Liz's Tea Time live show. Miss Liz, myself, is going live using StreamYard. Before leaving a comment, please grant StreamYard permission to see your name at StreamYard.com. Please be advised that the content brought forward for any Tea Time show hosted by myself, Miss Liz, is always brought forward in good faith. However, may bring forward dialogues and opinions that are not representative of my platform. The facts and information are perceived to be accurate at the given time of airing. All Tea Time guests and audience participants are responsible for using their good judgment in taking any action that may relate to the discussion. The content brought forward may include discussions for some where they may be emotionally at risk. It is significant to know that this show is engaging in discussion forums only to offer and inspire awareness and connection and is not providing therapeutical advice. If you have any questions about the disclaimer or the panelist discussion, you may freely contact me, Miss Liz, through my email at bookingmissliz@gmail.com. Moving forward, should you choose to voluntarily participate in today's show in any aspect, I myself, Miss Liz, welcomes you. And should you decide that the show is not made for you at this time, I respect those wishes and will see you at a later show at a later date and time. And again, all tea times are done on Thursday, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m., unless it's a rescheduled tea time or a returning guest. And that is happening on a Monday or Tuesday, like we are doing today. So now a little bit on my guest, and then I'm going to get him in here and I'm going to sip on some tea because my mouth's getting a little dry again. Jeff Higgins has spent his working life almost entirely in the industry of making seasoning for foods like potato chips, meats, and dips. You have probably eaten something he has been a part of creating. In 2002, Jeff bootstrapped his own company, and it has been a 20-year overnight success story. Living a life filled with purpose seemed to have always been a part of Jeff's DNA. Since he was 11, together with Shelly, they enjoy making seasoning, making meaning a part of their endeavors. They invested over 20 years supporting and running youth programs. They have served the hungry in their community in the U.S. and internationally. In 2016, Jeff Summit submitted Mountain Rainier, and in the process raised over $25,000 to build a school for special need children in rural Guatemala, which we'll be talking about today. Jeff and Shelly try to employ a model that they have. If you are going to do something big, attach it to something bigger. That is why the purpose statement for their company is serve people. Today, Jeff enjoys talking to audience about his experience and an effort to help people lead better, more fulfilling lives, bringing real life stories that changed his life. For his full bio, you can go and check out Miss Liz's Facebook page. And let me get Jeff in here. And we're going to talk about a bunch of other things that weren't mentioned in that bio. So we're going to spill some real good tea today. So welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Miss Liz. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And in fairness, your audience should know that the technical problem was on my end. Just as we were getting ready to go on air, it wasn't just the power, but it was also my cable went out and I didn't trust my connection. So I wanted to reschedule. So I'm glad that you're having me back today.
Well, it is an honor to have you here. And we talked even after, because when we had the power issues, we ended up talking for an hour after because we were just trying to see if it was going to stay stable, right? And I'm glad that we rescheduled because, you know, sometimes a little twist of tea is good.
Oh, man, you got to be able to handle the twists and turns in life, right? Life's what happens when you make plans.
Absolutely. So, Jeff, I want to get into it. I know I said it wrong because I seen your face when I said it. So taste buds, entertain, and the third one is?
Analytically. Yeah, so this, yeah, yeah, that harkens back to, you know, my chosen profession, which is, you know, making seasonings ever since I was 13 years old working in my father's company. And this is for industrial food manufacturing, right? So it's not retail stuff. Although the products that we make go on things like potato chips that you buy on the store shelves. So that's what we do, right? We analyze the taste trends. We analyze the particle size. We analyze the incoming raw materials, and we put them all together so that they entertain taste buds. And, you know, it's a fun job that I just happened to fall into because my father was in it. Eventually ended up starting my own company, Savor Seasonings. And it's been a real blessing for our family.
I like how you did that, Jeff, because you just turned your tea upside down. You went from A-E-T, and that's kind of how this tea time is going. It's kind of going back and forth, right? It's really been an entertaining tea time, and we haven't even started. Jeff, and you mentioned the age of 13. So let's go back to the little boy. Let's go back to who Jeff was as a little guy, and then we're going to get into who Jeff is today.
Yeah, because how I grew up was really a driving force behind my purpose in life. You know, in many ways, I had an ideal childhood, you know, spending all day at the creek with my friends, drinking out of the water and catching crawfish, coming home for lunch. And when the street lights came on, you know, that type of thing, you know, I walked to school. I mean, that's unheard of these days. I walked to my elementary school and walked home at lunchtime to grab lunch with mom before I head back. You know, it was in many ways, you know, a great childhood in Green Hills, Ohio. But behind the scenes, right, oftentimes things are much different than they were in my family of five. So there was my older brother and sister. My brother was 8 years older than me. His name was Tim. And then Krista was 6 years older than me, and my mother and father. What I didn't realize was that my older brother and sister, Tim and Krista, were from my mom's first marriage. And this didn't come out to me until much later in life. I figured this out, but to them, I was the proverbial stepchild, and they would, you know, out of jealousy or whatever, would physically abuse me. I'm sure I was a snotty-nosed kid too, but I endured physical abuse from them. They were both kind of out of control into drugs. Tim was involved with the police on many occasions for many different things. He would often get in fights at school and that type of thing. But there was also alcoholism with my mother. She was left ill-equipped to handle two out-of-control teenagers. Dad never knew who was breaking into the liquor cabinet, if it was mom or the kids. And mom had a real problem ever since I can remember. She was an alcoholic. And, this entire situation, of course, was untenable. It couldn't stand. And there was one day in November of when I was 11 years old. It was just after Thanksgiving, and mom backed her car out of the garage. She had a business meeting to go to up in, north of where we live. And she backed off the driveway into a snowbank. And, I'll never forget this. I got the tractor out to pull her out of the snowbank. And I kissed her goodbye forever. That night, she drove drunk the wrong way onto the highway and under the back tires of a semi-trailer, where she died at the young age of 38 years old. And at her funeral, they read a verse from Romans chapter 8, which says that God can make all things work for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I believe that day, that verse was branded on my heart, and I was determined to make difficult things like this in my life work for something good. deep down inside.
Yeah.
My brother, you know, he lived life on the edge, like I said, and 3 years after mom died, he had a beer in his hand and what was left of a six pack on his floorboard when he drove his car under the back end of a semi trailer and died at the young age of 22 years old.
Wow.
And I can't say that I lived out my purpose at that point. You know, as a kid, they tried everything, right? I saw all kinds of psychologists, psychiatrists, physical, mental, all kinds of different things. And, but I was just checked out. You know, I went from being a straight A student in elementary school to barely passing sixth grade. I'm surprised that they did, frankly. I was a troubled kid. I checked out of life. And, you know, it wasn't until April 6th, 1983, that I found a path forward. That was the day when I had lunch in the Milford High School cafeteria with a young woman, a young lady named Shelley. Spaghetti was on the menu, and we've been together ever since. We have built a beautiful life together, and it's largely by the guidance of her loving care, our loving care of somebody in our life, that we come out of the difficulties that we have been in. She didn't know what she was signing up for. Of course, she didn't know how messed up I was, but she was firm, and we grew together, and we made purpose out of my difficulties. So I taught senior high Sunday school class for 17 years. I did a lot with the senior high youth group because I know that oftentimes, you know, kids are going through stuff and people don't always know that. This led to eventually what you talked about. Let me back up a little bit. Shelly and I have three daughters, all married to three great guys. I got to give a shout out to my family, you know, and really, you know.
Well, that's good that they're great guys, right?
Yeah, you know, you pray for that. I prayed for that. That's what I said at their wedding reception. You know, I got to give this speech as the father of the bride three different times. And I said every time, I said to the parents of the groom, thank you. I've been praying for you and your son since the day my daughter was born. And you do, you pray for that for your kids. You want that. And they really, they've got great guys. And so I've got seven grandchildren a thriving, flourishing business. And I've been very well blessed in many ways. So, you know, yeah, I like to give back. I like to make sure that purpose is a part of who I am and what I do. So, yeah, in 2016, August 11th, 2016, I summited Mount Rainier and in the process raised $25,000 for a badly needed school for special needs children in rural Guatemala. And and this is what I mean by do something big and attach it to something bigger. You said that in my intro, right? So climbing Mount Rainier was pretty big. Yeah, I'm 50 years old. I ain't no spring chicken, but, you know, I did it. And it was physically by far the most difficult thing I've ever had to do in my life. But making the summit was only part of that. The bigger purpose that I was serving is really what made it emotional for me. The bigger purpose that I was serving drove me to the summit when I felt like I couldn't go on anymore. You know, my driving purpose drove me past the guy throwing up on the side of the trail as I'm thinking, I can't barely make another step, you know? And when I got to the summit, it meant more than just the vain endeavor of a middle-aged guy, right? Because I was doing something bigger than myself. It was an incredible moment in my life. And, you know, my summiting Mount Rainier, that climb started long before that August 11th. Making that summit was really, for me, I was raising my arms in the air in victory, not only over the mountain, but over my own past and my own difficulties.
You know, Jeff, I've had a lot of guests that have been climbing mountains and hills. I wonder if the good Lord is telling me something, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's really a transformational experience, you know, taking that step, like you said, like pushing yourself and saying, oh, I don't know if I could do one more step, right?
Yeah.
And you push yourself to do it.
Yeah, you know, I've got a friend, his name's Antarctic Mike. He does public talk speaking and that. And Antarctic Mike got that name because he did a marathon in Antarctica. I think that's absolutely nuts, but that's besides the thing. You know,
well, there are a few of those people out there, but what are you doing?
But I was talking to him one day, and he says, "You know, I did that, Mike. See, what Mike had is a marriage to a wife who had a bad climbing accident before he met her, and she had a lot of physical problems from that, and ongoing physical needs to be taken care of, and that caused, you know, some mental difficulties too. They dealing with stuff like that, right? It would affect anybody, and so, you know, he loved this woman dearly, but yeah, it was hard. It was hard. And that was his mountain that he chose to climb. And he says,
"Oh, are you there, Jeff?" I think we have a frozen screen, so let's see if he'll come back. If anybody would like to know more on Jeff and all of the incredible stuff that he's doing, you can check out his website at www.jeff-higgins.com. I just want to let everybody know that sometimes technical issues happen. You just never know where it's going. You know, we have these glitches in the system sometimes, and they just happen to just go bloop and then they come back, right? It's like climbing a mountain. You take one step up and then you take two steps back. Let's hopefully Jeff can come back. I think he did realize that his screen was frozen. So we're going to get him back in here, hopefully, and we can continue the conversation. Miss Liz would like to give a special shout out to all of you guys who voted for Miss Liz's business on Eligible, and thank you for selecting Miss Liz as local business person of the year again. So again, thank you to all of you individuals who voted for Miss Liz and supports Miss Liz's mission and mission and vision of serving one cup of tea at a time. I think we got Jeff back. Yeah, so let's go. There we go. See, it's going to be a tasteful, entertaining tea. Miss Liz signs up for these adventures.
Yeah, we're going to make this happen one way or the other, come technical problems or not. So I was saying about Antarctic Mike. So, and Mike says to me, he says, "I went to do that in Antarctica because it was a hard thing to do." And he said, "I went there to prepare myself to do the hard thing." You see, I think that it's very often that the hard things that we choose to do in life prepare us for the hard things that choose us in life.
Oh, I like that. I like that. That makes a lot of sense. That is deep, Jeff, but that makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
Especially people who have gone through a lot of trauma, a lot of broken heart, you know, gone through addictions and we, you know, we were made for this story, right? We were made for this strength. It was our walk to take, our mountain to climb, right? Wow. I'm going to go on with the mountain because the mountain is what is actually bringing us together, right? You know, like we're having this tea time because of the struggles and the summit that you created,
yeah,
and all of the good work that you've done, Jeff, and, you know, has brought you together, has brought you here, has brought you to my table.
Yeah.
Because the glitches that we're having with this tea time, like the technology, it's like, Miss Liz is not giving up, like, and Jeff's not giving up. So we're going to climb that mountain together. We're going to do
That's
this,
another
right?
thing that struggle prepares me. You know, it makes it easier for you to go on when you don't think you can. And that happened to me after Mount Rainier. And I think that Mount Rainier prepared me for the struggles that were in front of me after I summited, after that summit moment, that mountaintop experience in my life.
Absolutely. So, Jeff, I believe you also had a sister who passed from alcohol as well, correct?
Yeah, because, you know, my life didn't stop there on the summit. My life quickly changed after summiting Mount Rainier. That February, I was in Guatemala at the ribbon cutting of the school. And it was just an amazing thing. They recognized me, you know, gave me a little glass trophy. And, you know, there were like a couple hundred local Guatemalans at this. And I didn't understand the thing that the missionaries were telling them. He told me afterwards, though. And it was just an incredible experience. That was in February, March 13th, 2017. I was called to the hospital for my sister again. Probably the 10th time that she had been in a hospital. You see, both of us suffered greatly as children, some in different ways, but losing my mom and our brother, my sister didn't handle it the best way. You know, people say if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. I don't believe that. I think it's a choice. You know, and I wasn't making the best choices because I was an alcoholic too. Krista, you know, I was a high functioning alcoholic, right? I could keep it under control at that time. It never gets better. But Krista was, lived in self-pity. And when you live in self-pity and you're an alcoholic, that's like gassing a match. And, I visited her in the hospital one time and I pleaded with her with tears in my eyes. You know, Krista, I've had to bury mom and I've had to bury Tim. Don't make me have to bury you too. But that March 13th, 2017, I was called to the hospital for the last time to make the decision to remove life support. There was nothing that they could do at that point. And I spent the next 3 days with her as she slowly died. And I was with her alone when she took her last breath. And that was hard. You know, I'd never been with somebody as they died. And that was the third member of my immediate family to succumb to this terrible disease. And yet I was still drinking. I'm highly susceptible. I have three dead family members and I'm still drinking every day myself.
Yeah. That was one question I wanted to ask you, if you were drinking as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So I was oftentimes drunk when I was giving her advice on why she should not drink so much.
Well, it's the mirror, right?
But you know, once you're an alcoholic and you kind of learn about other alcoholics and you're not the only dumb shit out there, excuse me, but you know, you start talking about these stupid stories and some people, you know, it takes a little bit longer. You're able to control it a little bit better, but it always progresses. And there's, you know, things that can accelerate that. A few months after I was, my sister died, I was golfing with my friend, Father Chris. Chris and I were great golf buddies. I mean, I like to golf, but Chris said he wanted to, he told some fellow priests one time he wanted to die in a sand trap. And so we were golf buddies. We met on the golf course. And that day, you know, we were talking about some of this stuff and we were talking about his mother who was going through some end of life situations. And I was kind of bringing him down. Anyway, he had asked to go for a ride in my car after golf. And we, that ride lasted less than 10 seconds when I ended up losing control of my car. We went down an embankment and ended up upside down in a sand trap where Chris did not survive.
Wow.
I was found guilty of, pled guilty, I should say, to vehicular manslaughter in his death. And it was all over the news, of course, business owner, Catholic priest, none of that really bothered me. I was so, you know, I learned some new things. I had never experienced panic attacks. I had never experienced PTSD. I had never experienced laying on the floor, just trying to live the next breath. And the guilt and the overwhelming awfulness of the whole thing, and the anxiety and the depression. I was getting by on sleeping pills, anti-anxiety meds, and alcohol, and I was sentenced to jail because there was a fair amount of bitterness, and probably still is. I'm sure that I know that there still is surrounding this accident. So the judge, you know, they're elected and it's in the news. So I got 90 days on that charge. Doesn't typically see jail time, but jail is obviously, I know you might find this hard to believe, but I don't fit in well in jail. And that was the lowest point in my life, you know, less than a year after summoning Mount Rainier, I was lower and more broken than I ever believed a human being could be. And, you know, life changes, changes on a dime. I think that we, what that has taught me is that every night when I go to bed, that I need to be grateful for what I had this day. Because you never guaranteed that tomorrow. And that's not meant to be a live scared type of statement at all. It's just, you know, it's a joyful thing. You know, I am thankful for what I had today because life can change on a dime. And, you know, I have a friend who used to be a cop. And he was with people in their last moments of life. He said, oftentimes in the last 30 seconds, he said two things. I wish I had more time. And did I make a difference? Purpose in making sure that you lived every day, right? No regrets. I want to be grateful and thankful for what I have every day. So there I was in jail, lower and more. I got out of jail. You know, I was on probation, all kind of fun stuff that I learned a lot about. But and my own alcoholism turned into a rage that almost killed me. I am lucky to not be the fourth headstone in my family. And it's those things, you know, those are a couple of the things, you know, at some point I started to think, okay, you know, you got a choice here and it's what you talked about, right?
Yeah.
You can be bitter or you can be better. I don't care how low you've been. I don't care how guilty you are. Try to beat me. Right.
Yeah.
I believe that we can all be have a life that is happy and joyful and purpose filled beyond our most difficult situations. We were made to overcome life's greatest difficulties. And that's my message to people, because I know there's a lot of hurting people out there. Right, Ms. Liz?
Oh, yeah. And hurt people, right?
Right.
Until we find how to forgive. Not to forgive for others, but to forgive for ourselves. You know, we keep hurting. And those wounds keep opening, right? And we keep saying, well, I'm not healed there yet. So you're going to get a little bit more of this from me. You know, so what was it that changed in your life, Jeff, that you were like, okay, you know what? I'm done with this. It's time to heal.
Yeah, several things. And, you know, one of the things that was key for regaining a sense of peace in my life is exactly what you just said, Miss Liz. It's forgiveness. I knew just from my beliefs as I sat there in jail, you know, you're going to have to forgive everybody, especially yourself, especially God. Oh man, I was
right, because we get so angry with him. We're like, what are you doing to me?
Oh my gosh. But I knew that I was going to have to leave all that behind me if I was ever going to live a life worth living again, frankly, because forgiveness, I believe forgiveness is so important. Here, let me read this to you, because I think that from the Mayo Clinic, you know, forgiveness leads to healthier relationship, improved mental health, less anxiety, stress, and hostility. Few people have that today. I read the news. Fewer symptoms of depression, lower blood pressure, a stronger immune system, improved heart health, and improved self-esteem. Give me more of that, please. And that's why forgiveness is so important. And it has to be everybody. It has to be unconditionally. During the trial, there was a guy, his name is Gary. And Gary reported to me that he was a friend that he was a friend of Chris's. And Gary made it his mission during the trial to see that I got the harshest punishment possible for what had happened in the car accident. He talked to the press. his words were the headline. He talked to the prosecuting office and he talked to Chris's family. And frankly, he was a large part of the reason that that I got charged more harshly than other people do for this same crime. And, you know, a couple years after I got out of jail, all of a sudden I got a phone message from this guy, Gary, and he wanted to talk to me. And he said the topic was forgiveness. I don't know. You know, I talked to my attorney. My attorney says, I wouldn't talk to that guy. He did his damage. You're still on probation. You know, don't do it. But, you know, I felt compelled to. I don't know why. And Gary sent me this letter. And in this letter, he says, forgiveness is a great gift that you can always give the other person. I would add, it's also the greatest gift that you can give yourself.
Yeah.
I talked to Gary and I told him, look, Gary, I attacked that dragon a long time ago, buddy. You were top on my list and I have forgiven you. See, what I didn't realize at the time is that Gary was dying. And I didn't realize that. I was happy to give him peace. I was happy to give myself that peace of letting him know that I forgave him. But Gary was preparing for the end of life and he was seeking reconciliation and forgiveness because, as so many people want, he wanted to die in peace.
Yep.
Right? It occurs to me that if we want to live in peace, we ought to do the same.
Yeah.
That's an example of why forgiveness is so important. And I was happy to give Gary the opportunity to die in peace, at least on my account, because it also released me to live in peace.
Well, and you just said something, Jeff, like, you know, a lot of people before they pass, they want that forgiveness, right? Especially somebody who has done damage to you in your life. They want that forgiveness so they can pass. And like you said, why not have that peace while you're living? Why do we wait until we know that that's going to be the end of it and then want peace? Yeah. You know, I've had a few family members who have done that as well. They wanted to speak to me before they pass. And the good Lord made it so that it didn't happen.
Look, the evidence is in. Yeah, the evidence is in from the Mayo Clinic. Newsflash. You know, this is
right?
And this is not, you know, some study, right? I can find a study to prove anything. This is double-blind, placebo-controlled, peer-reviewed studies. It is definitive. Forgiveness is so important to our mental health and well-being. That's why every night when I go to bed, I thank the Lord above for every gift and joy that I can think of for the day. I try to be as grateful as possible. That's why I just got back from Guatemala Sunday. Let me tell you something. I do that twice a year. That's soul care. That's as much for me as it is those people on the mountain that I'm serving, right? It's because when I go there and I go into a mud hut that is filled with smoke because they cook on open fires and we install stoves that help prevent that, but they're filled with smoke, smells of human, a family living in a home with no electricity, no running water, no bigger than my bedroom. That will, that for me reminds me of how blessed I really am, you know, and in return, of course, I want to try to be a blessing as much as I can for other people, but you know, that's how important gratitude is for me. I go in there and that's what I focus on. And when I say thank you for my food every time before I eat, I think of those people on the mountain who are malnourished.
Well, it kind of gives us a reality check how blessed we are, right?
Yeah.
We complain a lot. We don't got this. We don't got that. We don't, you know, and then you go into this environment where they don't have this, mm-hmm. You know, they fight and struggle to get this. And it makes you realize and open your eyes and say, oh my goodness, thank you. I'm grateful. I'm blessed.
So gratitude, and let me read this to you from Psychology Today, right? This isn't, Jeff's not making this stuff up, right? From from Psychology Today, that, gratitude will help reduce cortisol, and cortisol causes anxiety, depression, digestive problems, headaches, heart disease, sleep problems, weight gain, memory and concentration impairment. It's important. It's just another one of those pieces of our mental health that we need to pay more attention to, just like forgiveness, you know, and having purpose and meaning in life. That all is so important.
Yeah, it really is, you know. So what is it about special needs children that has a special place in your heart?
You know, they're kids in rural Guatemala. I don't know. It touched my heart. These missionaries, first of all, I was drawn to them because I try to be a good steward with my time and treasure. And I went down there to see what they're doing. And I think that it is effective, mission work. And so I support them, and they were building this school because in rural Guatemala, they don't have another school like this outside of Guatemala City. And unfortunately, people of Guatemala that are uneducated and don't know any better and have limited resources, if they have a child that is not going to survive, it's the handicapped child. Yeah. And we're talking about Down syndrome and things that are very understandable and very, very, easy to work with in the United States, and we take this for granted. But these kids, yeah, unfortunately, they're very, very disadvantaged in rural Guatemala, and there's a lot of need in that part of the country. But building this school, and it today I was just there last week, and Jordy, the little blind Guatemalan boy, he and I didn't speak the same language, but it was a blessing to go in and see him reading Braille on the desk in the school that I helped build.
So what is it about Guatemala? Because you could build a school anywhere. Why there,
Jeff? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's stroke of luck. The mission down there, it's called Dream, Invest, Grow. It's a family that that I met through our church. It was just a chance more than anything else. For my giving back, I like to do local. I like to do national and I like to do international. My wife and I, Shelly and I, like to have that blend of serving in a lot of different ways. And that's just the way we do it, right? So we're looking for something international, and this just happened to be it. Yeah, it could be Haiti. It could be anywhere. There is a tremendous need in Guatemala because there was, there's been a civil war down there, I think like 30 years ago. And the Mayans, here's an interesting fact, the native Mayans, most people know who the Mayan Indians are. They're the ones that are pushed to the edges of society because of this conflict. And they're the ones that fled to the mountains for their own safety, where they live off the land pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, these stoves that we install, they're cooking in their homes on open fires. These stoves that we install, that's one of the great benefits of it. Not only does it get the smoke out of the home, which is helping a lot of people, but it's also the amount of wood that you use in this stove. Let me change that. The amount of wood that they would burn in one day on an open fire will last 2 weeks in one of these stoves, these high-efficiency stoves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it has a tremendous health benefit, environmental benefit. You see why I'm involved with this? Because, these people are doing stuff that really, and you know what the proof in the pudding for me is, I go into these villages and the folks in these Guatemalan villages, they're like, hey, when can I get my stove? When they're asking for it, then that it's something that's needed.
Yeah. So do you have any plans of bringing more stoves to the area for
I go down twice a year and I help install the stoves. Right now they're working in Valencia, Guatemala, and that's a town on a mountaintop, I guess you would call it, of about 50,000 people, most of whom are in need.
Oh, wow. See, I thought Guatemala was like a really small community. Like, I thought it was like maybe like a couple thousand.
That's 22 million people, I believe.
Oh, Well, Miss Liz got to do some education here. Miss Liz got to learn a little bit, right?
And
learn a little.
There is an acute need in Guatemala. And so, you know, it seemed like a good place. And, you know, we help with nutrition programs and healthcare. Last week when I was there, a little old lady comes up. She's got an eye infection. This stuff, we talk about instilling some gratitude. She's got an eye infection. And the daughter-in-law and the family, she's a nurse, and she says, how long have you had this eye infection? She says, for 7 years. Wait a minute. Did you mean days, weeks, months? No, years. 7 years she's had an eye infection. You know, she can't afford to get in the bus to go down the mountain to the doctor to get the penicillin. She can't afford the penicillin. And so she's dealt with this for 7 years. You know, you know, how lucky are we? And we complain about all, you know, the healthcare and the cost of, you know, but you know what? We go down to the corner store and we can get what we need to take care of stuff that is making other people's lives miserable all over the world.
Yeah. So I want to get into Jeff. I want to get into the serve people. How'd you come up with that, serve people?
Yes. So I get asked this a lot, and that goes back to my faith. You know, to me, and you know, I'm a Christian, and to me, it's pretty clear in the Bible, right? That our highest calling is to love God and love each other. And love is a verb. Love is not, you know, for me, it's not only a feeling. In fact, I think that's part of, you know, the smallest part of it. Love is a verb. You know, it's about showing kindness and patience towards others and helping to brother out. And, you know, yeah. So I think that's, you know, and when I was starting a business, my business mentor told me, you know, you think just a business guy, he says, Jeff, put the business plan down and look at me. He says, why are you doing this? Because if it's just to make money, don't do it. Why would you put everything you have on the line to start a business, right? You can go get a job somewhere else if it's about money.
Yeah.
It's got to be about something more. And that really, you know, it really hit me. And so, yeah, the purpose of our company is two words, serve people. And that is, I feel, my highest calling in life. And that takes various forms based on my gifts.
And I'm with you with that, Jeff. Like, and I'm with that mentor. You know, if you're gonna do it just for money, you can just go get a job somewhere else.
Right.
You know, you can get the 9-to-5 job, but when you really want to have a purpose and you want to have that legacy of making a difference, right? Because that's the two things that we want before we die, right? Is we want to know that we had a purpose and that we made a difference.
Yeah.
You know, so we need to get our get it together and say, like, you know, what is our purpose in life?
Yeah.
Why are we not getting out there and doing what feeds our souls, what feeds our in ourselves? You know,
and you know where our purpose comes from? You know where purpose comes from?
Where does it come from?
Our struggle. You know, it's kind of the circle of life, I think. You know, you probably are familiar with the 5 stages of grief, right? And that was written by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and it's very famous, and a lot of people know it. What a lot of people don't know is there was a 6th stage of grief that was published by her protege, David Kessler, and it was after her death, but with the blessing of her foundation. And the 6th stage of grief is finding meaning and purpose, that our struggles and our difficulties can be rich sources of meaning and purpose in our life, and always often are. You know, the Susan G. Komen Foundation was founded by Susan G. Komen's sister, because Susan G. Komen died as a young woman from breast cancer. You know, I can go down the list. You know, people finding meaning and purpose. I hear the story all the time, and it's no different with me.
Well, it's the struggles, right? And if you don't have the struggles and you don't realize that your struggles is actually your strength. That's where the scars are your strength. You know, all of this things that all of the things that we have to overcome, the adversity of stepping up and saying, you know what? Holy shit, I had a hard time. Okay, yeah, I said the word shit, guys. I will put the thing out there. But I mean, you go through a lot of stuff in life where you have to eventually say, you know what? It was to make me who I am today. Mm-hmm. It's to give me my purpose, to show me. It's like you said earlier, I can't remember what you said, but we have to, something about strength and struggles. You said it earlier. I'm trying to remember here. It's just having that brain fog here. But I mean, our struggles are our strengths.
Do the hard things, that you choose so that you're prepared for the hard things you don't choose in life. I don't know if that was it or not, but
it was the hard things. Yeah, I know it was with the word hard things. There was something with the hard things because we have to have the hard things in order to get over through the hard things, right? You know, because it's not everybody that goes through the story that you went through, Jeff.
Yeah,
I didn't go through it. You went through it, right?
I went through my own struggles. Yeah. You know, that's a great point, Ms. Liz. I'm sorry. Because your struggles aren't my struggles. You know, don't compare your struggles to my struggles. I've had some pretty remarkable experiences in my life both ways. That's why I call my talk struggles and summits, right? I've been to the highest mountaintops and I have been to the lowest valleys. But that's, you know, we all have struggles. And sometimes it's the little stuff every day, right? In business, right? I know what this is like. It's the little stuff that gangs up on you throughout the day. It's, you know, it's the little struggles. It's not necessarily the big flashy stuff, and it doesn't have to be tragic, but this stuff wears on us and it builds up over time. And so your struggles aren't my struggles, but struggle always has the same effect. It causes stress, it causes anxiety, it causes depression, it causes all kinds of problems. And so, you know, that's why I hope that my experience with overcoming stress, anxiety, depression, and all that through my struggles can be helpful to other people.
Well, then it goes right back to your tea. You know, it's tasteful. The struggle was tasteful, right? There was a lot of flavor in the struggle.
Is there deep tea? Right? Distasteful, you know, and nobody chooses this, right? You don't say, when I grow up, I want to be divorced. I want to be, you know, an alcoholic or an addict. Nobody plans on this stuff, but it happens, and it happens to all of us. You're not alone.
And I think that's, and you know, it goes right back to your tea, because your tea is a strong tea. You know, when you gave me your tea, Jeff, I was like, oh, you know, these are words that we don't use. You know, when people describe tea, but tea is tasteful. It's got a lot of flavor. It's got a lot of blends and it's got a lot of seasoning in it, you know? So, and you grew up doing all these seasonings like, and spices and you know,
When you make a seasoning, it comes out tasting like, let's say sour cream and onion. All right. Well, that seasoning's got maybe 15 to 20, maybe even more ingredients in it. Right. And some of those ingredients taste really good. And some of them taste really bitter. And some of them taste really sweet. And some of them taste really salty. Okay. But it takes all of those flavors to make something that's truly tastes great.
And that's what tea time is. All these different flavors, all these different blends, all the different stories, you know, all of the struggles that all of my guests have gone through and yours included, Jeff, like, you know, it makes a good pot of tea. It makes a good strength of where we're going to bring the flavor to. What table are we going to serve? And it's like your spices and your seasoning, right? What table are you going to bring it to? And have you ever gotten a story where they said, Jeff, thank you for that seasoning, man. That was an awesome seasoning. Like, have you ever gotten any of those?
No. Honestly, this is the first time I've kind of really put the two together, you know, but it really is great. And it makes sense. It is kind of a good analogy. Of course, it pertains to something that I love.
Right? It just all blends together. Yeah. You know, you need all of the little bits. And it's like that amazing artwork that's behind you. It's all the little pieces put together to make a beautiful creation, you know, and that's how life is. And that's how we serve, you know, all of our pains and struggles are like little pieces that piece behind you. I just love it. It is gorgeous. So for all my audio listeners, well, you won't be able to see it, but there's a beautiful art piece behind Jeff and it just represents life. You know, when I look at that, I see your life, Jeff. It's been like struggles. It's been like pieces, like, you know, and they all blend together. I think it's amazing that you have that piece behind you, especially today, for all the ups and downs and blips and technology issues and stuff like that, right? So now, Jeff, I want to take it a little personal. I want to get to know you a little bit. So I asked you what your favorite color was, and you gave me red. Why the color red?
It always was since I was a little boy.
What is it about red that's like, Jeff, I like red? Like,
I'm sure it's psychologically that somebody could probably analyze me with that, what I went through or whatever. I have no idea, but I always want, ever since I was a little kid, red was my favorite color. So I just stick with it.
I think it's incredible that a man likes red. I'm not analyzing anybody or anything, but I think it's really empowering that a man likes red. So, and you gave me the word strong to describe yourself as an individual. Why that word?
I had to ask my wife on that one.
So Shelly helped you with it, did she?
Yeah, because, you know, I don't know, it's hard for me to analyze some of that stuff about myself and you know, but she said that, and I thought, you know, I guess you're right, you know, because I've come through a lot, and, you know, the good stuff and the bad stuff. You know, starting a business, being a entrepreneur, ain't no bed of roses, trust me, you know, but here I am. I've made it through all of that, and, you know, frankly, I've seen it both ways. I've seen it. My sister, she didn't make it. There's a lot of guys in jail. They're not going to make it. It's a choice, you know? And so it doesn't necessarily make us stronger. And like I said before, you know, our difficulties can break us. And the fact that I was able to make it through it all, I think is just frankly a miracle.
So Jeff, you speak today to audiences. So what do you bring to the table that you want the audience to get from you when you're speaking to them?
Yeah, just a unique perspective, I guess. You know, can I finish with this? If we're at that spot, because this is a good question, and I've kind of got a little story to go along with it.
I love stories. Go ahead.
So August 11, 2016, as I previously told you, was the day that I summited Mount Rainier. It was the hardest physical accomplishment of my life. Within a year, obviously, as I said, you know, I was at the lowest point in my life. And I had a valley that was a lot lower than the base of Mount Rainier to climb out of. August the 11th, as fate would have it, 2022, I got my driver's license back. Exactly 6 years to the day that I summited that mountain. And since then, I had been through my hardest mental challenge of my life. And as I sat there with my driver's license, having overcome anxiety, depression, nobody arrives, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it went from being something that could kill me to, I think I'm on the high end of the spectrum of somebody who's is having a pretty darn good life. And you know, I'm thankful for that. And you know, I have come out of life's deepest valley during that time. And there I was with my driver's license, and it felt every bit like being at the summit of Mount Rainier. And the biggest thing for me is, you know, I alluded to it earlier, Liz, I think there's a lot of hurting people out there. I run into them all the time, and not everybody, but, you know, I kind of resisted that thought for a while because I thought maybe it's just me that has all this, you know, but there are a lot of hurting people out there, and I've got a lot of unique experiences. I understand the addict. I understand the imprisoned. I understand the guilty. I understand the depressed and the suicidal. I understand those who have suffered abuse better than some. So I feel it's a great honor and a privilege to be able to talk to people in those difficult situations and give them hope.
Well, I think we talked about this before when we had the glitches the last time when we spoke. You know, unless you live it, you know, don't speak it, because you're actually making more damage when you're speaking on something that you haven't lived. And I'm glad that you finished with that, Jeff, because you understand it. You lived it. So you can speak on it. You know, you can say, you know what? I understand how you feel. I might not know your story. I might not know your journey, because each struggle is different, but I understand it. You know, and I think we would impact more lives if we started understanding the stories, understanding what people are going through, you know, hurt. Why are people hurting? Why are people having so much trouble forgiving? Because we're not taught how to forgive. You know, we're not shown how to forgive. We're just like, okay, well, I'm just going to forgive you. Oh, yeah, and you can come over next week. Well, that's not forgiveness. Come on. You know, like yeah, I say to my family, Jeff, I say, you know, you guys have been forgiven a long time ago, but that doesn't mean you're coming for Sunday roast dinner. Like, you know what I mean? But we're not taught it. And we're not taught how to understand our struggles either in life. You know, there's no course or no instruction book out there that says, you know, you're going to have this struggle and you're going to understand it. Mm-hmm. You have to live through it to understand it. You have to experience it to understand it. Mm-hmm. You have to do the hard things to understand the hard things. And I love that you came with that as understanding, because I think we need that in life. We need to understand more. You know, you understand Guatemala and you understand prison. You understand life. You understand addictions. You know what I mean? When we start listening to the stories and we start understanding what the people are sharing, then we actually make a difference. We actually make that impact. And I think it's really a blessing, Jeff, that you are still standing. And I'm glad that Shelly helped you with that word strong, because you are a strong man.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to have strong men share their stories like you. So what final message do you have for everybody, Jeff?
Healing happens through transparency in community. When I was a young man, one of the most poignant memories of my childhood was my mom taking a smiling picture of our family off of the buffet and hanging it over one of the holes that my brother had punched in the walls of our house. And we all have holes in the house. And that for me is a real analogy for life. And we hang smiling pictures over our holes, and that's okay, because, you know, nobody wants to live with Eeyore. Nobody wants to live with Eeyore or work with Eeyore. And you know, we put on our best face, but if you want to fix the hole, you got to take down the picture. And I'm not talking about Facebook transparency here. I'm talking about, you know, like us alcoholics, we get together and we understand each other and we understand the stupid stuff that we did like nobody else can. And we understand each other when people, you know, who can drink normal people can't understand, you know, why the heck we do what we do. But that's where healing happens. That's where healing happens.
And I think healing is a process, right? It's a life journey. It's climbing that mountain, getting that one step at a time, you know?
Absolutely. And,
you know, it's been a real honor to sit and talk with you, Jeff, because we've had our journey and climbed that mountain. You know, we've overcome those issues. And, you know, we all have those blips and bloops and, you know, we fall down, we get back up, you know? We get disconnected and then we get reconnected. You know, it's just the way life is. It's part of the journey. It's part of the struggle, right? We had to go through the struggle in order to understand and to be grateful for the moments together.
Struggle is like really greatest teacher.
Right? I just really thank you, Jeff, for taking the time and rescheduling, because, you know, sometimes people get the glitches and they're like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm done. Boom. I'm gone. Right. But we took that time to reschedule and to actually make this time valuable, you know, and get the message out there for everyone out there. So if anybody would like to reach out to you, how could they reach you, Jeff?
Yeah, so I have a website right there, you know, Jeff-Higgins.com. That's Jeff-Higgins.com. I'm also on Facebook, you know, Struggles and Summits. You can look me up there. But, yeah, you know, I'd love to get feedback. I always say feedback is the breakfast of champions. That was a motto in our company, and that's, I think, a good thing to live by. And I always seek it, good, bad, and indifferent. You know, please, love to hear from you.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much. And thank you to all the supporters and listeners. And if you're listening to the Tea Time later, push hashtag replay. Let me know where you're tuning in from. I always like to know where you guys are coming in from. Miss Liz is on multiple platforms, and I like to know what platforms are tuning in, you know, for these topics. And I will see everybody on Thursday for two TEAs. We have Alexi Brassi coming in, and then we have Andrew Newman coming in, and we're going to be talking about kindness and subconsciousness bedtime stories. So we're going to do some a lot of different on Thursday. So I'll see everybody same time, same place with two new TEAs. And that's how we roll in this house.